All right. Good evening. Welcome out tonight. Thank you so much for being here. And we'll open with just a couple announcements, and then we'll dive into a time of prayer, and then we'll get into our study for the night. So before I do announcements, what we're going to do is I'm going to hand out the prayer guides, and we're just going to kind of pass those around. If you would like one, you can grab one. If you don't want one, that's fine. Just keep passing it. That way, by the time we get to prayer, they're all handed out. All right, so I'll start kind of a few on both sides. And so I guess I'll just give you one. There you go. And then in there is a couple missionary letters. So we add those into our prayer guides. So we have two missionary letters in there. And then from the last prayer guide, because we did not pass those around, we had quite a few letters left over from the layers. And so we have extras up here if you would like one. If you were not here a couple Sundays ago, the layers shared about their upcoming building a desire to build. And so there's land that they want to purchase. There's a building project they're looking to do in Poland. Anyway, they shared all about that and why they're feeling the Lord's leading them to do that and why the Lord's opening that door. So in this letter, it talks about their desire to do that. So you can find out more about that with the letter that's up front here. Again, in your prayer guide, you've got two other missionary letters as well. All right. So that being said, as those are passed around, I'm going to share a few announcements. First and foremost, do not forget we have our deacon and officer nominations that are coming up. Thank you, ma'am. And with that, all of our treasurer position, trustee positions, and our church clerk are all one-year terms. And so every year we nominate and vote in either a new person in those positions, or it can be the same person that's currently serving in that role, but they have to be nominated and elected every year. It's a one-year term. Our board of deacons, we have currently six deacons on our board. That's the max we can have for our size of membership. One of those deacons, Aaron Danielson, his term is coming up in January, so he'll be stepping off the board again. So we can have a nomination for deacon. You can nominate Aaron Danielson back on the board if that's what the Lord leads, or you can nominate another gentleman that's a member of the church for the position of deacon as well. So we have one opening for deacon because Aaron's term is coming to an end. So with that, again, he can be nominated and elected back on as well. If you have any questions about that, you can see me. The nomination forms are at the Welcome Center. And so if you have any questions, you can grab them there. They're all due back January 11th. January 11th, they're due. And then we'll put the ballot out in the bulletin for a couple of weeks before our meeting at the end of the month in January. With also coming up this month, I should say, we have our, this, make sure you kind of are there. If you're signed up to ring bell, and you're the first one that gets there, so the 10 o'clock shift, you're going to go inside Kroger to the customer service area. They're going to have the little kettle, the bells, they'll have the apron. You don't have to wear the apron. It's totally your choice, freedom of, you know, will or free will or whatever. So if you want to wear the apron, you can, you don't have to. And then again, feel free to share Christmas joy. You can wish people Merry Christmas. You can have conversations and all those good things. Again, and then when you're done and the next crew shows up, the next two people show up, they just kind of take over. If something happens where your 2 hours ends and the next two people aren't there yet, you do not have to stay beyond 2 hours. Take the kettle, the bells, the apron back into customer service, drop it off there. Same thing if you're the last shift for the day, take it back inside, drop it off, and they'll watch that for you, all right? If the kettle gets full, where it's kind of hard to put anything in there, they should have at least one other kettle, maybe two more kettles at customer service, all right? So if you signed up, please make sure you note that. The sign-up sheets are not at the Welcome Center. They're in the office. So if you want to double check, let me know after service, and we'll get that to you. Pete. So when I was initially doing this, we were told somewhere around 98% of whatever comes into the kettle stays in Lapeer County through Salvation Army in Lapeer County. Yep, that's what we were told by Salvation Army. Yep, so really cool way to serve the community. Any other questions about Salvation Army bell ringing? Dress warm, it's going to be chilly. Well, not as cold as it has been, but it will be chilly. Also, just a reminder, in your bulletin, this Sunday, there'll be all the dates that we are not having evening service. So just remember, next Wednesday night is our Christmas Eve service. So we will not have normal Wednesday night service. We'll do our Christmas Eve service. That starts at 6 o'clock. Anyone's welcome to attend that. So invite family and friends and all that. If you have children coming or grandchildren coming, they can wear their pajamas. That's totally fine. Again, we'll start at 6. It will be no more than an hour. So we keep it at an hour or less for that service because we know you guys have family things going on. But I love hearing families talk about the Christmas Eve service being part of their family tradition now, where they come here first, maybe have dinner before, or they have dinner after. I know some people, they like to go to the Chinese place in Emily City and I think have dinner after. I'm not sure who does that, but I've heard some people doing that. So a lot of great things to do around Christmas time, and we hope that coming to that service will be one of them. After tonight or next Wednesday, we will not have any service the following Wednesday for New Year and all of that. Sunday evening services, this coming Sunday evening and the 28th, we will not have Sunday evening service, okay? So just keep that in mind as well. The Refuge starts up the 21st, so definitely be praying for that. We are looking for just a little more help, and I know we've been asking for help a lot with this. I love seeing all the sheets get filled up and stuff. We really appreciate that. But this year, again, in the past couple of years, we've partnered with another church, and some of their volunteers have helped kind of fill in those roles. This year, and so we are looking for, I believe we need a couple more drivers, okay? So if you can drive, I believe it's Friday evening, or maybe it's the Saturday evening. I'll double check the papers if you want to drive, but it's somewhere like that. I think it's either Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday, something like that, Sunday morning maybe. So I can get that to you if you're interested, but we do need some help with drivers. And anyone that wants to come at 3 o'clock in the morning and hang out for 3 hours, we're looking for a couple shifts of that as well. Also, talked about Christmas Eve. We have Undeck the Halls coming up January 3rd. Don't want to talk about that too soon, taking down all the decorations, but it is coming up. And then also family game night. We have family game night coming up in January. That's January 10th, January 10th, second Saturday in January. So don't miss out on that. There is a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. If you'd like to sign up your family name and then how many you're expecting to have with you, it just gives us a good count for food. So we're doing a taco bar that night. So you're not going to want to miss the food because we're going to have some authentic Mexican-style food there, and we'll probably have some ground beef with taco seasoning for anyone that doesn't like the real stuff, so we'll have that available as well, but it's going to be a great night, and what family game night is literally what it sounds like. You bring a board game or a card game that you and your family like to play. There'll be a table set up in the fellowship hall. You drop that, put your name on the box, drop that on the table. Anyone can pick it up and play it, and then you can just kind of jump around to different games. We'll have a bounce house set up actually in here in the back over there, and so that'll be good for the kids there as well. But because this is a family event, there is no child care. There's no nursery. And again, as I said on Sunday, a lot of people treat the bounce house like child care, just kind of send them to the bounce house, and it's this mystical land that's far away and distant. I don't need to worry about it. And you're welcome to send them into play. But if you could just check on them every now and then, that would be great. We really appreciate that. But that's going to be going on again January 10th from 4 to 7. All right. So a great night for family. And again, invite anyone that you'd like to this. It's going to be an awesome time. All right. So that's really all the announcements I have as of now. Any questions or comments about upcoming events, activities, snide remarks? No? I thought my son Anthony was going to have a snide remark, but he didn't have one ready to go. So, nothing? Oh, did you guys hear that? She said, if there's not child care, her husband can't come. So, wow. Who drove? Who drove tonight? So, I'm guessing she's getting a ride home with maybe Pete and Marcia. That's probably what's going to happen. Yeah. All right. Now she's like, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk when we get home. That's what he's thinking. No, anything else, guys, before we open in prayer and spend some time in prayer requests and whatnot? All right. Any prayer requests or praises? So what we'll do is we'll start with prayer, and we'll let you guys have some time of just sharing prayer requests, and then we'll pray together to start, as we've been doing recently, and then we'll dive into our devotion. So any prayer, anything you'd like to share? Yeah, Paige. Okay. 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 For sure. Let's be praying for Paige's grandma, Elaine. They found a tumor on her pancreas, and not sure they can do much for her other than remove her pancreas. So we're just praying for healing and comfort and all those things that the Lord will be with that situation. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else? Nor. Yes. These guys have been kind of going the rounds with some sickness in the house. So let's be praying that their family, as well as all of us, will be able to get through the holidays, the Christmas season, without sickness. We were so blessed last night. We were able to host, and some of you guys might have saw some people sharing on Facebook, we were able to host the Christian School of Emily City, had their Christmas play, and we were able to host for them kind of on the fly because they moved their performance because something like 40 kids in the Christian school were sick. They literally canceled school one day because there were so many kids sick. And so they moved to last night. And we had the blessed opportunity to host for that. So what a praise that we were able to do that. I always say the Lord has blessed us with this building, and we want to make sure we maximize the potential use for it. So we open it up to many different venues and things that can benefit from it. A homeschool co-op uses our building every other Friday through the school year. And so anything we can do to allow the Lord to be glorified through this space is what we want to do. So what a praise we're able to do that. But sickness is going around. So let's be praying that the Lord will help us to get through the Christmas season without any more sickness, and we can enjoy family and friends and all those things. Of course, if the whole family's sick, then spend time together anyway, because you already got it. You ain't going to bother nobody. So, but anyone else? And so a praise that we were able to host a Christian school here last night. Just praising the Lord for that. We had about 300 in attendance last night. That was really, yeah.
We have a lot of family traveling in for Christmas.
Okay.
Okay. So just like prayers for safe travels. They're all coming from Florida.
Okay.
Different times and different places.
Sure.
And then Bristol, my middle, is homesick with Tyler.
Okay.
Holly shared it from last week, and I'm terrified that the baby's going to get it.
Mm.
So we're just going to, I guess, just pray for no more.
Yeah.
But
yep.
Scary.
Yeah, no, for sure. Pray for Tyler and Allison as they have family coming in from Florida. And pray for sickness to be, again, removed from the home. Pray for Bristol, that she'll feel better. And also be praying for, again, anyone else that's having family come in. I know this time of year a lot of people are traveling in, or maybe you're going somewhere. Be praying for all of that, all the kids that are home from school, from college and all that, as they're home enjoying that time. Anyone else? Prayer request or a praise? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Just be praying. Yeah. Be praying for anyone that's maybe lost a loved one, a parent, a spouse, a child, a grandchild this last year. As we talked about with our grief share ministry, this time of year can be filled with joy and filled with difficulty and sorrow. So we want to be praying for those individuals. If you know someone, keep them in prayer. Or just in general, be praying for those in our community that are walking that road, for sure. Anyone else? Prayer request or praise? No? Be praying for this weekend. A lot of churches in our community are obviously expecting potential visitors to come in, with it being the Sunday before Christmas. And so that is a kind of a popular Sunday for people maybe that aren't quite consistently going to services and to church services and stuff to be a part of a service. And so let's be praying for the Lord to use that time for his glory, that people will come to Christ, that the gospel will be preached, and that we'll see, as we've been praying, our leadership's been praying for this. At our men's prayer breakfast, we talked about this too back at the beginning of the month. We don't want to see churches just have a bump in attendance this month and around Christmas. That's great to see more people in the services, of course, but we're praying for true change and conversions, and that not just a crowd will show up at Christmas, but in that crowd, the Lord will move and people will come to Christ. So let's be praying that the Lord will draw people to himself this weekend, as maybe there's people thinking about the Lord when they're normally not. And so let's be praying the Lord will use that time in our community. Would love to see a revival breakout that carries over into the new year. How awesome would that be if 2026 was just an amazing year of harvest and God just did great things. And so we're praying for that in our community. Absolutely. So be praying for that with us. But anyone else before we open in prayer? if somebody would like to start us in prayer this evening, and then we just open it up for a free time of prayer. You don't have to pray the request in the bulletin or even anything that we've said so far. If there's something else on your heart you'd like to pray, it can be short and sweet. It can be whatever the Lord's laid on your heart as far as prayer, but it's free time of prayer, so anyone can pray, and then I'll close in just a little bit. So would someone like to open our time of prayer this evening? Dave? Awesome. And then after Dave prays again, feel free to pray if the Lord leads, and then I'll close this in just a little bit. Father, as we continue in prayer, we're just so thankful for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of prayer. We only do this and are allowed to do this because of what you've done for us. And the gift that you gave through your death, burial, and resurrection allows us access to the very throne room of God. And we can come before you, Lord, as Father and as friend. Lord, you are the one that can intervene and intercede in all these different situations. And so, Lord, we pray, whether it be a health concern, asking you to keep us healthy for the holidays, asking that you'd watch over traveling mercies. Lord, just in all things, we pray that you would be glorified. We pray that your will would be done. Father, as we go into your word, I pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to what you have for us. Help us to apply it and to be changed because of it. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Be with student ministry, be with the Word of Life, the Gopher Buddies. Help them as they just continue to spend time together, be in your word. Father, we think of the kids tonight doing their Christmas party. Thank you for all the leaders that put in so much work behind the scenes. Lord, hours and hours to prep for just tonight. And we thank you for them. They don't have to do that, but they choose to do that because they love these kids and want to see your name glorified among them. So Father, again, I pray you'd bless tonight. Use this time again for your glory above all else. And thank you for this place that we can come and gather and worship you. Lord, I'm just so thankful for this space. Lord, I think about our missionaries in Poland that they don't have their own building. They don't have their own church. They have a storefront that they're using that they rent with three or four other businesses and things going on in the same space. And Lord, it just makes ministry difficult at times when you're sharing a space like that with so many different venues. And Lord, we just thank you for a place that we can gather, a place that can be used for your glory. Lord, we know this building is not the church. The church is the body of Christ that gathers within. But we are thankful that you've given this space to us to be used for your glory and for ministry. May we continue to see it as an opportunity and be thankful for it. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, tonight we are in Daniel chapter 2. So go ahead and open up to Daniel chapter 2. And a little bit different, I actually don't have a handout for you guys tonight. I know, it's so weird. I thought I would just give you at least 1 week without a handout. I know some of you guys love handouts, and I know some, your personality, you're not really a fan of handouts, but I promise you we'll get back into handouts in January. But I just want to spend just a little bit of time looking at a passage in Daniel 2, because Daniel experienced a lot of amazing moves of God. And so I want to talk just a little bit about who Daniel is, the kind of backstory of what's going on, and then we'll dive into Daniel chapter 2 in just a moment. And really, I want to look at this moment in Daniel's life and see how God moved and what we can draw out of this for our own Christian lives today and how we can be encouraged in our disciplines before the Lord. So quick background, who is Daniel? Like, what is Daniel's job? What is he? What does he do for a living? What does Daniel do? What's his title, his position? I guess I'll say it that way. I know somebody knows this. It's not a trick question. Yes, yeah. He's the king's advisor. That's his role before the king. He's a wise man of the court of Babylon. In God's eyes, he's also a prophet, right? And he records prophecy from the Lord. I just said it. Where is he currently living as he's writing, or as the story of Daniel is being recorded for us, as this book's being written? He's in Babylon. What's going on with the nation of Israel right now? Why are they in Babylon? We did cover this with Ezra back a while, but why are the Israelites in Babylon? Because they're captives, right? They've been taken captive by Babylon. And so Daniel is part of this group, right? There's Daniel, and we know of some others. Who are the others that we know of that are with Daniel in the early chapters of Daniel? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, we know those are their Babylonian names, right? Those are names that are given to them. But when you think about that, these four have been kind of selected, right? They're kind of the select group. And what was the Babylonians' desire to do with these select Hebrews? What were they trying to do with them? What did they hope they could accomplish with these guys? Okay, they kind of want them to start to believe the way the Babylonians believe, okay? Yep, absolutely. They're all considered wise men, right? Really. So how did they prepare them to be these wise men? What did they want them to do? Yeah, yep. They had to eat certain things, dress certain ways. They had to go to the Babylonian schools, right? Learn the Babylonian way, right? They changed their names. We mentioned that. That means they also have to learn their language, right? So they're kind of pulling them into the Babylonian culture. Now, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all agree to go along with a lot of these things. Do they resist the names that they're given? No. Do they learn the Babylonian culture and language and sciences and philosophy and all those things? Yeah. What's the only thing they wouldn't do? They would not eat of the king's meat, right? They wouldn't partake of the food that they were asked to eat early. But apart from that, taking a different name, learning different things, learning their language, speaking their language, learning their culture, all of adapting to the culture, right? I mean, let's be honest, apart from a couple moments where they stood out pretty bold, if you were to look at Daniel and you were to look at a normal Babylonian, if you didn't know who they were, you'd probably think these guys are basically the same because they look the same, they dress the same. They adapted to the culture apart from violating God's law. They would not break God's law. Now, this is amazing because what do we see missionaries do today? Missionaries travel all over the world. And one of the first things a missionary has to do is learn the culture of the people group that he desires to minister to. He has to learn their language. He or she has to even learn their religions, right? We've talked about this with tribal missions. If that missionary doesn't learn the religions of the people and their view of God and who God is and what God is and all of that, if they start trying to teach about the God of the Bible and this people group has a whole different view of God, you're going to confuse people really, really fast. And so missionaries do that. They kind of adapt to the culture. But some of you might have studied this. Do you know that once upon a time, missionaries, Christian missionaries, would go into a culture and they would not adapt to the culture, but they demanded the people adapt to them. And that primarily meant I'm Westerner, right? Especially in Europe, European Western Christians would go into a culture and go, you all have to be just like us. And people started realizing that wasn't effective. That wasn't effective. And it really wasn't until really the 1800s that we started seeing missionaries go into regions and start to take on the culture of the people they desired to reach. That meant they changed their clothing. They wore their hair different. They would do different things, eat different things, right? Which kind of would scare me if I was in like a tribal culture because I've heard some stories about the things that those people eat. And I love Jesus and Jesus loves you, but I'm not eating that, okay? That's not happening. And so these people do this. And so we see Daniel and the three Hebrews, they kind of adapt to the culture, but what's the line? They will not compromise God's word. They will not violate God's law. And so in a similar sense, missionaries will go into cultures that are sinful cultures. They're broken. There's sin in the culture. They don't know Christ. And so there are things in the culture that the missionary will say, we cannot do that. We can't partake in that because that would violate our conscience for the Lord. But here, Daniel and these three Hebrews, they adapt to a lot of the Babylonian culture. They were considered men of great wisdom, Daniel specifically. Now, Daniel's mentioned a little bit more, but we're going to find out the three Hebrews, they're kind of awarded some positions of leadership as well. So Daniel chapter 2, look at verse 1 and 2. Now that we kind of know the background and we know why they're there, we kind of jump in. I know these are familiar stories and maybe you've seen the VeggieTales and you've gone that route and you know all these stories are very popular to you. But I want to look at an aspect of the story that I just absolutely love when I come across this. So Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, if I can get a volunteer that would like to read those first two verses for us, that would be great. Daniel 2, 1 and 2. Who'd like to read that for us? All right, Britt, awesome.
In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream
Awesome. Thank you. So we open up with Daniel 2, and here's King Nebuchadnezzar, right? And I've always loved that the Bible has the word Nebuchadnezzar twice, like reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar. Like that's always kind of been funny to me. But here's this king. He has a dream, and he wants to know what the dream means. But he calls before him this large group, astrologers, Chaldeans, wise men. It's all really the same group, just different classifications. And it's anyone to be considered wise in this culture, okay? And so as he calls this large group before him, he wants to know, what was my dream and what did it mean? What was my dream and what did it mean? Now we read the story and we know, what do the wise men say? Well, king, tell us your dream and we'll tell you what it means. And he says, I can't tell you the dream, right? Now, some say he was testing them and he could remember, but he was seeing what they would say. Some have said that he actually kind of forgot parts of the dream, so he couldn't fill in all the gaps, so he wanted them to tell him. But later on, you start reading that he actually gets a little bit angry. And why does he get angry? Because they keep telling him, well, tell us the dream, we'll tell you what it means. And he says, well, if you're wise men and you're supposed to be so wise and you know all this, you should know the dream and what it means. And then he says, and if you can't tell me the dream and what it means, you're deceiving me. Now, isn't that interesting? These group of people, let's be real, they had no idea what the dreams meant. They did not know what these dreams meant. They had their opinion, their ideas, and they could make up anything, right? If I said, well, I had a dream that I was a pink, I have no way to determine whether that's true or not, right? It's just subjective. But if they can actually tell the king, no, no, king, this is what you actually dreamt, and here's what it means, that's true wisdom. That's something that would just absolutely blow the king away, and it would reveal that they have great wisdom that no one else possesses. But we find out they're really kind of stalling for time, right? And you go down to verse 8, and we see here a decree made of the king. A decree made of the king. So verses 8 and 9, maybe one more volunteer that would like to read that for us. Verses 8 through 9. Pete, awesome, thank you. So he's upset. He catches on that why are they asking for more time? Because they want to make something up. They want to deceive him. And he's figuring that out. And so he challenges them. You tell me now, right? The king is furious because the wise men could not give an answer instantly. And he accuses them of stalling for time. He says if they cannot give him an answer, they will actually be killed and their homes will be destroyed. They're going to be killed and their homes will be destroyed. That's a pretty huge consequence. They actually respond to this decree in verse 10. Look at verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, Lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magicians or astrologer or Chaldean. So what are they saying? You're asking the impossible. And no king, no ruler has ever asked this before. No one could ever do what you're asking. There's no man on earth that could do what you're asking. Now, here's the question. Are they right or are they wrong? They're absolutely right. They don't realize why they're right, but they're absolutely right. No one on earth, even Daniel in his own strength, can reveal to the king his dream and its meaning without the Lord giving that wisdom to them. They actually say and address this. Go on in verse 11. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king, no other man, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Now notice the translation there. It puts a little g on the gods. Because they're not talking about the God of the Hebrews, the God of Israel, the God of the Bible. They're talking about their gods, their Babylonian gods. Or because Babylon captured many cultures and they rebelling and revolting, a lot of gods were part of this system, right? And we see this all over the world. so many cultures, the Roman culture, the Greek culture, there's all these tiers of gods and different types of gods. And you see this in all these religions, right? And they would tell you, well, there's really just a couple gods and they manifest in different ways. Or in some religions, I think it's Hinduism, they really tell you there's just really the one God, but that one God can display itself in many different ways and forms and whatever. But really, the ultimate thing is they're all idols. They're not true gods. But the point they make is right. They're actually speaking truth. They're referring to their gods, their little g gods that have no power, no ability, no wisdom. However, there is a God who does not dwell in flesh, who is not made with hands, that can reveal these things. And so what happens? We see here that they're crying out and saying, this is not fair. No one can do this but the gods. And again, it's not by the help of their little g gods. If that was so, then why did they not seek the help of their gods? If they're saying only the gods can do this, then why aren't they seeking the help of their gods? Why aren't they crying out for their gods to help? Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I think, and we know the answer, right? Because what would have happened if they spent an entire day pleading for their gods to help? What would have happened? Nothing. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Elijah made it very clear. Go ahead, keep calling, maybe a little louder. Maybe they're busy, right? Maybe they're in the bathroom. That's one of the things he kind of slights them with, right? How many times did Elijah call down for fire? Once. And God answered. Why? Because the purpose of Elijah calling on God was that God would be glorified. And that's exactly what happened. But here, these men, they say only the, or else they would have called on their involved yet. So he's not part of the group that's been brought before the king yet. And he goes on to say in verse 12, for this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And now we see the decree go forth that all should be slain. And this upsets many and it bothers many, but primarily this also concerns Daniel. And the decree went forth, verse 13, that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. So Daniel, I feel bad for Daniel. He hasn't done anything. He's just lumped in with this group. And because these guys can't perform on demand, now he's going to lose his life. The men went to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Look at verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel, and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Could you imagine this? Like, you're just going about your day. I don't know what Daniel was doing when this guy showed up, but he probably wasn't expecting to be slain that day. And this guy shows up, and it's almost like this kind of, hey, how's it going? And he says, not so good. What do you mean? Well, I'm kind of here to kill you. Well, that, what? He tells him the decree. Well, why would it be just like that? There's no warning. There's no nothing. So he explains the situation. And then we see the request of Daniel. Now, I think it's interesting, the request of Daniel and the request of the other wise men. Look at verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him what? Time. And that he would show the king the interpretation. So Daniel goes before the king and he asks for the same exact thing the wise men asked for. We just need time. How did the king respond to their request for time? You're going to deceive me. You just want to stall. You just want to make something up. But Daniel goes and asks for time. And what's the king's response? He grants him his request. And I think the difference is, look at what Daniel said. It says in verse 16, that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. So it's interesting. The wise men said, we can't do it. No one can do it. Only the gods can do it. This is an impossible demand. They automatically were saying, we want time, but then they followed up with, but we can't really do it. Daniel says, would you give me time? that I can show you the see the confidence of Daniel? But yet, it's interesting. He's confident that God would work, but he's not assuming that God's going to give it to him in this moment. Do you see that tension there? He's acknowledging, I will show you the thing, but you need to give me time. So he has confidence God can do it, but he's not cocky and overconfident in his abilities to think, I can do it right now. There needs to be time here. Again, Daniel did not assume he could just give the answer at that moment, but requested time, we know, to seek the Lord. This is actually a very bold request of Daniel's. What could the king have done in this moment? Well, not only say nope, but what? This is going to be really easy to slay you because you're right in front of me. Remember, we read a few times how mad he was at the other wise men. Furious, angry. At this culture and this time, you don't want to make the king angry. Do you guys remember when Nehemiah went before the king? He's the cupbearer. He goes before the king. And the king noticed that his countenance was sorrowful. He was sad. And actually identifies that and calls that out. Do you know in that culture, if you went before the king just in a bad mood and a sorrowful look on your face, you might make the king depressed and he could kill you for that? Because you're affecting his joy? Time. Again, Daniel doesn't dismiss the request. I want to do that for you, king. I want to give you the answer, but I need time. He doesn't just say, oh, that's impossible. Again, this reveals to the king that Daniel was not the source of the wisdom, but merely a conduit of the interpretation. Ultimately, this is so the Lord will receive the glory and not Daniel. Daniel did not assume that he would just have the answer, but went to the Lord in prayer, seeking his mercies. He was constantly looking to the Lord. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how we tend to live in the prayers of yesterday. We tend to live in the prayers of yesterday. What I mean by that is we live in the moves of God from yesterday. Of course, we remember all that God has done in the past. We reflect over that. We rejoice over that. That strengthens us in our faith. The prayers of yesterday help us in our habits of walking with Christ. However, our walk with Christ is to be a present and active walk. It's a walk today. I need him today. I seek him today. I lean into his wisdom today. We need daily strength. If we neglect that daily time of prayer, we start to think we live this life in our own power. Daniel has seen God move, and he could have, with arrogance and pride, oh, king, I got you. I can take care of this. I'll make it happen. But he understands, no, I need the Lord to do this. And so he takes time to seek the Lord in that moment. And it just reminds me, so many times we live in the joys and the moves of God from yesterday. I remember way back when we first opened this church and we would do like praise time and all that. People would talk about how the Lord got us in the building and how the Lord answered these prayers and all of that. And as time went on, it was the same praises over and over again. But we know God moves every day. Maybe not in the big ways, but in everyday ways, he moves. And so are you depending on him today? Are you seeking him today? Are you at great work? But he's a God that's active today. And I'm not saying it's going to be a big thing, but don't live in the prayers of yesterday. Spend time with him today. Don't assume that God's going to just do that thing because you need it. Seek him. Ask for his wisdom. Seek his name to be glorified and seek him every single day. And I love that Daniel does that. He doesn't take it for granted. That's the idea. So let's look at the prayer of Daniel. Verses 17 through 19. If I can get one more volunteer, I'd love to have somebody read that for us. 17 through 19. Who'd like to read? Jeff? Awesome. Nice. I thought you were... You good? You good, Jeff? Okay. Nice and loud. So here we see this prayer. What's the prayer? He's asking, first of all, he asked that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that's their Hebrew given names, he asked them something. What does he say? Would you guys pray with me? Yes. Yep. Yes. Daniel could have prayed on his own. And again, I love that he was seeking the Lord daily, but he knows I need help in this. He goes to his friends and he says, would you pray with me and for the ability to be able to interpret this dream, to know its interpretation and the dream? Would you pray for me about that? And honestly, this is one of my favorite parts in the entire book of Daniel. And for years and years and years, I missed this. We read this story and go, man, look at how God used Daniel. Look at how mighty Daniel was. Look at the prayer life of Daniel. Oh, he prayed every day, multiple times a day, and all these great things. And we know the three Hebrews, that they stood in the fiery furnace, and we know they stood for God, and we give them all the glory for that, or God all the glory for that, and that they stood. But we forget this moment that they are just as involved in God doing this great work as Daniel is. I mean, they're just as important. And so again, think about it. When somebody asks you to pray for something and you're just praying for it, no one else may know that you prayed for that. No one may know. And God gets all the glory. But when God moves, how amazing is it that we could be involved in that? We get a hand in that. And again, not for our own pride and arrogance, but that we're blessed to go, man, God, you're amazing that you would answer that prayer that way. And it grows our faith. Daniel did not try to do this alone, but went to his friends for prayer. Why do we spend time on Wednesday night handing out prayer guides, taking prayer requests, praying together as the church? You guys could pray on your own. Like, you can go home and pray. You can do the prayer guide at home. But why do we do it as a group? A lot of churches, to be honest with you, a long time ago got rid of prayer meetings and prayer services. And Wednesday night used to be the prayer service night, the prayer meeting night. A lot of churches got rid of that because nobody came. Nobody showed up to prayer meeting because it just wasn't something that was motivating them. And I told you guys, I had somebody tell me who was in their 70s, who was saved pretty much their entire life, that prayer meeting just wasn't enough. They needed a little bit of teaching. They needed a little bit of devotional time. If we're just going to pray, that's not enough. I need more. And I understand what they were saying. They wanted to be in the Word and praise God for His Word. But do you realize the Bible tells us and commands us as a church many more times to pray than it does to study? The Bible says study the Word. But there's a lot less verses that say study the Word and a lot more verses that say pray together as a church. Pray for one another. Real quick, what did Peter do as soon as he got released from jail in the book of Acts? Where'd he go? He went to church. Not a building like this. It was a home that was housing the church at the time. But what were they doing at that church? Praying. And so literally he knew the church is praying for me right now and went and rejoiced with them. For each other. We need each other in this life. David mentioned it. Man, it's crazy in our world today. And if you aren't careful, you can get caught up in it just like everyone else. If we're not praying together and reminding each other of who our God is and what He's doing, we're going to get so lost in all the nonsense out there. It's just so easy to get caught up. So we need to pray with and for each other. I love the Apostle Paul models the same example in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. He literally says, and he asked the church to pray for him and that he would have the strength to speak the word of God when he had the opportunity. It's right at the end of the armor of God. He lists all the elements of the armor of God, and then he adds prayer. Prayer is part of the armor of God, by the way. He says, would you pray for me? That when I speak, I'll speak what I should, and I'll glorify God in my words. So Daniel does this, because this is what he knows God requires and asks of him. He seeks the Lord. Now, let's look at the answer to their prayer. We're not going to read the rest of the chapter, but look at verses 20 through 23. I don't know why, but I feel like sometimes I got to get this text a little closer to my eyes. I don't know what's going on. Pray for me. Verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness and in the light, and the light dwells with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee. For Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. So what's the answer to the prayer request? Lord, give us wisdom that we can understand. What does God do? He answers in the affirmative, and he gives him the wisdom that he requires. And how does Daniel respond? Not praising himself, but praising God, exalting him, praising him for who he is. Yes. 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 Yep. And I think when we start with adoration and praise at the beginning of our prayer, it changes the requests of our prayer. I find I ask for different things when I start acknowledging who he is and what he's already done. But when I start with the request, that list can get really long. But as I acknowledge who he is and what he's done and who he continues to be, the requests change. And so here we see Daniel praises him and thanks him and gives him all the glory. As you read the rest of the chapter, and I encourage you to do so on your own, you will discover the meaning of the dream, what happens, why Daniel has this wisdom. But I want to focus lastly on two key verses, verse 30 and the humility of Daniel, and verse 47, which reveals God receives the glory and is recognized as God above all gods. Look at verse 30 of Daniel 2, and then we're going to close. Verse 30, but as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. What is he saying? I'm not any different than any other wise man. I'm not smarter than anyone. It's kind of what he's saying. He's being humble. The only reason I know this is because God chose to give it to me. Verse 47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods. And if you see that, he says, God, of gods, little g. So he's recognizing that Daniel's God is the true and living God. And a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. And you read on from there and God begins to work in Nebuchadnezzar's life. Now, if you know the story, Nebuchadnezzar has some setbacks, right? Wandering around on all fours, eating the grass like a wild beast, I would definitely call a setback. He battled with pride. He battled with that arrogance. But in this moment, God is working through Daniel. And again, when you see this pattern, humility of Daniel and God receiving the glory and recognizes the God of all gods, this is a good pattern for us in prayer. Humble ourselves and seek his glory. And when God answers the affirmative, we don't pat ourselves on the back. We give him all the praise because it's his will being done. And so before we close in prayer, we're ending a little bit before 8:15. But I'm not sure quite how long the Christmas party is going to go. So I want to make sure we were wrapped up before they were. But any comments or thoughts on the passage tonight, on what we've been talking about tonight, anything that maybe is an encouragement to you this evening? Sure. Yeah. Right. Yep.
And the other thing is, we read these stories and we forget that most likely these were 17, 18-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Going before the king.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, this is the first time that we read of Daniel. We read it after this, but this is the first time that we read that God gave Daniel the ability to interpret dreams.
Right. Right.
And, you know, you have dreams yourself, and then you try to remember them. But, I mean, this was in detail.
Yes, you know? Yes.
And everything was in detail. It always amazes me, because, like I said Sunday, when you think about prophecy, and everything is just with God.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and I agree 100%. And it's amazing to think about, because you bring up a good point. We've all been where Nebuchadnezzar was. I had this dream. It troubled me. but now that I'm awake, I can't quite remember all the details. And some of it must have stuck with him because he would be able to know if they were lying to him. But at least to the point he's like, fill in the gaps. I need you to fill in the gaps. And for Daniel to say, Lord or King, this is what you dreamed. That's pretty amazing. And I've always said, if we were going to make up prophecy as human beings, if people were going to just make up prophecy and make up stuff about Jesus in the Old Testament, you would be so vague in your prophecy. You would not be detailed. You would want to make it as obscure as possible so that if something happened, you could go, oh, see, that's what I was talking about. But Micah 5:2 is pretty detailed. Bethlehem will be the place of the birth of the Messiah. If Micah was making it up, he would not have said that. He could have said Judah. He could have said Israel. I mean, he's going to be from the line of the Jews. He's probably going to be born in Israel. Let's make it really super vague so that when he's born, oh, see, I told you. But man, God's word is so precise. Mm-hmm. Ephrathah. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
When Daniel started revealing to Nebuchadnezzar, can you imagine?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I cannot to answer the question. No, I cannot. So yeah, no, that's amazing. Absolutely. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But I love Daniel was so humble about it. He just, look, I'm not better than anyone else. God just gave this to me so that you would be benefited from this, so that you would know that there is a God, right? So again, Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar in the dream, it's a mission story, right? It's a story of mission that Nebuchadnezzar would come to know the Lord and put faith and trust in him. David and Goliath, it's a missionary story. There is a God in Israel. There is one true God, and I will show you that he's on our side. Elijah and the prophets of Baal, it's a mission story that everyone would know there is one God. And so again, you see that all through the word of God. He's constantly showing and revealing he is God, and there is only faith in him that matters. And so he's drawing us to himself in all different ways through that. But any other thoughts or comments? David. Oh, yeah. 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 Yep. Amen. Yeah. I love that. He knew where he could go. He knew they'd be there with him. They had a shared faith in God's ability. And exactly right. And I think that we see their faith exemplified later when they said, no, we're not bound down to your image. But here we see it in that quiet time of prayer. And for Daniel to know that is huge. So yeah, absolutely. We know we can lean into each other, right? And if you know you have a need, and I love that. It seems impossible to us, but God loves doing the impossible, right? There's no such thing with God as impossible. So I love that, absolutely. Any other thoughts or comments before we close in prayer? Yeah, Pete. Right. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, this is Babylon, right? We talk about missionaries overseas in those cultures, but this is just as much Babylon as anywhere else. And we need to be guarded against those things that maybe on the surface don't seem so bad, but if it contradicts God's word, we need to avoid it and flee from it. Absolutely. And know how to discern those things, right? Absolutely. Amen. Anyone else before we pray? All right. Well, thank you guys for your feedback tonight. I love the interaction. And so let's pray, and then we'll let you guys be dismissed. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for this amazing recorded story for us that Daniel was able to do this thing, Lord, that you were glorified. And he only did it because of your equipping and your giving him that ability, that wisdom to know these things. And we know that as we read on through the book of Daniel, Lord, and read through the different prophecies that are giving, Lord, there's some things that are in those chapters towards the end of Daniel that that can be confusing to us at times, or I know there's been much debate about different aspects of things, Lord, but I pray that we would take away of the most that you are a God who is working your will and your plan, that nothing happens by accident. And what Daniel said is true. Lord, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you change the times and the seasons, and you set up kings and you remove kings. And Lord, we are in Babylon. We are in a nation that, Lord, although, yes, we were founded on Christian values, and I believe we were founded on the Word of God, we as a nation have drifted very far from that foundation. And in fact, in a lot of ways, rebelled against that. And Lord, I know that can be so frustrating for believers to live in this culture. But Lord, I pray that rather than getting frustrated and isolating away, that we would realize that Daniel and the three Hebrews were impactful because they were community making a difference. And so I pray that we would pray for the king, in this case, our president, our leadership, our government officials. We would pray for them. We would exalt your name in our communities, that we would desire to please you and seek you, that we would, as we were encouraged tonight, to surround ourselves with brothers and sisters in Christ that can encourage us and pray with us and be that sounding board, be that encouragement and that strength we need when we seemingly are facing the impossible. And Lord, that we would take great confidence to know that no matter what happens, that you are the one that appoints a king, you are the one that removes a king. And so in our case, Lord, you are the one that is over all of that. We ask for your will to be done. We pray what we believe your will is, but we entrust all things to your hand because we know that you are good. We know that your will is being done. We know that you are drawing people to you and that people are being saved, that you're being glorified in all of that. So Lord, again, would you just work in a mighty way as we go about our rest of our week into the weekend, Lord, bring us back on Sunday as we desire to worship you. And again, you be glorified. Anything that we do for you, any gifts and talents that we have, any abilities that we possess, they're all from you and they're all for you. And I pray that we would see it that way, that we would lift up the name of Christ. Father, again, thank you for all of this and for these that are here. Bless us now as we travel and go our separate ways. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10:30. And because it is Christmas season, invite someone to sit with you and join you. We'd love to have them come with you and worship with us. So we'll see you guys Sunday morning.